Right now, we want to go to the message. We're in a series called Games People Play. And we just started. We started on last week and kicked off our capital campaign, and we called it Getting a Game. But we're going to have three more messages in this series called Games People Play. And the way we get messages together, we just try to ask the Lord to help us as we study His Word and where we'd like to go. And I always talk to my wife. I love talking to my wife about our ministry and what we're doing, and talk to Raj here down front. It's great to include other people and ideas and not think you got all the answers, and it's great. And so we decided we're going to do a little series on games people play. So today we're going to move right into it. And today's message is Trivial Pursuit. How many played the game Trivial Pursuit? Okay? Played the game? How about you Canadians? How many Canadians are here played the game Trivial Pursuit? How many of you Canadians know that Trivial Pursuit was invented by somebody from where? Canada! I know y'all just love hearing that, don't you? Anyway, so y'all invented one game. No, I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. That hurt me. I'm sorry. Excuse me. They know I love them, right? I love Canada, don't I? I love eating your food, don't I? Yes, I do. I sure do. Trivial Pursuit is the title of our message today. And just a little background, the origins of Trivial Pursuit can be traced back to a blustery day in Montreal, December 15, 1979, when two friends, Scott Abbott, sports editor with the Canadian Press, and Chris Haney, photo editor for the Montreal Gazette, they engaged in a friendly argument over who was the better game player. Who's the better gamer? Who's the better gamer? They're arguing over who is the better gamer. All right? Well, thankfully, this thing didn't lead to an all-out fist fight and brawl, but it led to these friends creating a board game of their own. Long story short, after realizing that more help was needed, etc., they employed the help of, it's fine, they employed, you can read this on the back of your worship guide sometime, just don't read it now, okay? But they employed the help of a brother and also a friend. They were both ex-hockey players. One was a lawyer. The four of them got together, and they formed this little corporation. They made a prototype of the game. They put it together. They sold 1,100 in Canada. Ooh, not a big success. So then they brought it to the U.S. Toy Fair in the United States, and they realized, my goodness, we've got to sell 20,000 of these just to break even. And it didn't happen. Wasn't looking good. But to their surprise, they went back home, and company picked it up. And before too long, orders started coming in and doubling and tripling, etc. And in 1984 alone, the game sold 20 million copies. Wow. It's a good thing they just didn't have an all-out fist fight. Who's a better gamer? It's a good thing they didn't park it there, isn't it, huh? And they took what was trivial, some stupid little argument over who's the better gamer, and they turned it into something that was worthwhile. So anyway, what's the point? The point is, I want to take a little spin off of that today, and I want to tell you, in the real game of life, most people live their lives pursuing trivial things. In the real game of life, most people spend their lives pursuing trivial things. And if you don't think it happens in the church, you are crazy. See, that's been my experience over the last 22 years, has been the church. And I'm convinced that inside the church, we spend our time, we waste our time on who's the better gamer? Say it with me. Who's the better gamer? It's insanity. It's insanity. And quite frankly, I don't want to be a part of a church if that's what we do. Who's the better gamer? I did this, I did that, I did either. Who cares? What are you doing now? And where are you at on the page with Jesus Christ? And are you serious and sincere and real? Or you got your a little pedigree? Who cares? You know? Who's the better gamer? Trivial. It's trivial stuff we spend our time on, spinning our wheels on trivial things. Games people play, trivial stuff. Trivial comes from a Latin word meaning three roads. Can you say that with me? Three roads. Well, what's that all about? Well, here's what it's about. The idea was that in ancient times, when travelers met at the crossroads, they would talk and they would gossip about unimportant issues of the day. So they'd be traveling these caravans in ancient times, and they would meet at these three roads or crossroads, and they would just talk about stuff that absolutely did not matter. And that's where the word trivial came from, okay? So we learned something today, amen? It was trivial stuff that they were talking about. Who's the better gamer? Does that sound trivial or what? Say, can you think back in your own life, instead of trying to think about somebody else doing it, have you ever done that in your own life, really? I mean, you've either bragged or thought about what you were doing was so important, and also while you're doing that, you're probably putting somebody else down. You know what I'm saying? We're just so prone to do that. Trivial stuff. Who's the better gamer? Much of the stuff we deem important today is trivial, trivial. We want to be important. We want to look important. We want to act important. And we want to be treated like we're important. But in the big scheme of things, what does it matter? And the bottom line is Jesus Christ getting glory out of your life. Amen? Is he able to live through you and minister through you? And who cares who gets the credit? We want him to get the credit. Amen? And I'm telling you, last week I talked about if we're going to get this building done, there's singles, there's doubles, there's triples. And remember those homers? That was supernatural miracles from God. If we're going to build this thing, you know what? We need to make sure that he is getting the glory. Amen? He's getting the glory because he loves glory. God's big on God. Can you say that with me? God's big on God. He's big on him getting the glory. He ain't big on you. He ain't big on me. He's big on himself. He's big on Jesus. Amen? That's what he's big on. And he wants to get all the glory, and he's not going to share it with you. So trivial things need to go out the window. That kind of trivial thinking, us being important, is rooted in pride. Let's move it. Who's the better gamer? We're going to fly, Raj. God has an abundant life for us. John 10:10, the Bible says the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, destroy. But then he says this, Jesus Christ says, I am come that they might have life, you, and that they might have it more abundantly. God has an abundant life for us. And if we are on this trivial kick, we're going to miss the abundant life that God has for us. The abundant life is short-circuited by the trivialities of pride. Do you understand that? Say, you with me? The abundant life that Jesus Christ wants you to have is short-circuited by the trivialities of pride. And I want to do something right now with you. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Philippians chapter 1, or you can follow along with me on the big screen as well, whichever makes you happy. We're just going to give you the word this morning. Let's journey back 2,000 years ago, and let's meet a man who is experiencing the abundant life. In my view, the opposite of trivial, in my country head, is what really matters. Trivial stuff does not matter, so the opposite of trivial is what really matters. Can you say that with me? The opposite of trivial is what really matters. And there's a man, the Apostle Paul, who wrote a book to the Philippians, the Christians at Philippi. And as I was thinking about this message and contemplating the series, I was awakened one night, which is normal for me. Sometimes I don't sleep all the way through the night, like a lot of you probably sometimes. You wake up and what to do, you know, you're awake. And so you either get mad or, you know, a lot of times for me it's a great time to pray. Great time to pray for people. It's also a great time to contemplate Scripture. You got to read the Scripture to have some to contemplate, though, all right? Amen? So it's a great time to do that. And many times that's what happens to me. And I'll contemplate Scripture. And I was thinking about this series, and as I was laying there, I kept thinking, trivial, the opposite of trivial is what really matters. And also, just the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians just, you know, came to my mind, and I'm just, since I know the book of Philippians pretty well as far as I preached it and studied it, and I love it, memorized several scriptures there, so I'm sort of just replaying it in my mind, you know, chapter 1. And I went, wow, that's what really matters. That's what really matters. I'm going to talk about Paul to the folk. And so here we go today. We're going to journey back, and we're going to see the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians. But I'll tell you something. He wrote this book while locked up in prison. He wrote this book. The book is on joy. That's the theme of the book. The word joy in the Greek means to leap. Yay! Isn't that weird that he wrote this book
on joy while locked up in prison. I thought you wrote books like this when you was on the mountaintop. He wrote it while he was in prison. Because, see, trivial things don't really matter when you're locked up, huh? So anyway, he was awaiting his execution. He was 800 miles away from Philippi, locked up in a Roman prison, waiting his execution. Also, it had been 10 years since he started the church. But somehow, some way, he had to write him a thank you note. It's amazing. And he wrote about joy. And the interesting thing, and we'll see it a little bit this morning, is that this was a suffering church. And though he was suffering, he realized what really mattered. It wasn't his suffering or his struggle. It was helping others and reaching out and encouraging. His focus was not on trivial things, but it was on what really matters. Philippians 1:1. Now, I want to tell you what happened. So after I think about where I'm headed, then I get to my office and study and stuff like that. And words just jumped off the page at me. Have you ever done that before when you're reading something, something just jumped off and hit you? Has it ever? I'm the only one? Okay, some of you, it's happened to you? Okay. All right, there you go. So I'm reading, and words jumped off. Words that really matter. So my focus was on Paul and the fact that here was a man locked up in prison, but he still was happy. He wrote a book on joy. He wrote a good book on encouragement. The word joy appears 4 times. The word rejoice appears 8 times. The word glad appears 3 times. Jesus Christ in this epistle appears 16 times. The gospel appears 4 times. It was exciting. It's just an uplifting book. Verses like this, say it if you know it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. How many have ever claimed that verse? Say, do you know it was written by a man who was in prison? And still today we're encouraged by this guy and this book. So, I started reading these verses. And we're going to do it today. As I read through, the words are going to jump off at me. You ready? Here we go. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. Let's take a quick test. What word, I mean, you know, there's a lot of words there. And maybe the word didn't jump off, it jumped off at me. What word do you think jumped off? Wait a minute, don't show it. Did you show it already? Roger! Why don't we just give them the end of the message? Man, you know? No. Anyway, so the word that jumped off at me was what? Jump off, baby, jump it. Jump, whoa! It jumped off at me. Now listen, here's the point. Here's the point. Who's the better gamer? Who cares? But you know what really matters, friend? Is being a servant. Paul started out his letter like that. Here he is in prison. He said, Paul and Timothy, he said, we're servants of Jesus Christ. You know what servant is? Servant's a bond slave. It literally means a bond slave by nature. What that means is that Paul used to be a persecutor of Christians. Jesus Christ interrupted his life on the road to Damascus, amen. He was gloriously born again. And from that moment on, he became a bond slave of Jesus, and it was his nature to now serve the Lord. And did you know what? I believe that's true for you and me. I believe when we focus on trivial things, that is really against the new nature that's put inside of us. But so often we do focus on trivial things. But I tell you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit of the living God in you, and I absolutely believe he's tugging at you, trying to get you to quit, get off that trivial stuff, Clark. You know what I'm saying? We're bond slaves. That's who we are if we're a Christian. We need to be servants of Christ, and that really matters. Humbling yourself and being a servant, it really matters. Look at the book of James 4:6, but he gives more grace. Wherefore, he said, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Verse 10, he says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. What really matters? Who's the better gamer or being a servant? Somebody tell me. Being a really matters. God rejects pride every time. I am to humble myself before God and others. If you're going to get off the trivial kick, you're going to have to lay it down. And you got to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And you might say, well, I can't be a servant. You can be a servant. You have the Holy Spirit of God, and by nature, now you have a new nature, you can serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How can somebody like my mama, who was a drunk, all her life and, quite frankly, caroused with so many men I can't even remember. When she met Jesus and when her life was changed, she became a beautiful flower. Unbelievable. And it changed my life. I saw, whoa, whoa. You know what I'm saying? That can happen in your life. But it can't happen you doing what you want to do. It's going to happen with you humbling yourself and becoming a servant. My focus should not be on trivial my way things, but rather on His way things with others in mind. You've heard the old saying, it's my way or the highway. I like it this way. It's my way or it's the highway. I want the highway, amen? I want the highway. And there is a pull in my life. Though I fail and make mistakes, I can feel a pull pulling me to the highway. Amen? Boy, I thank God for that still small voice that I hear that's saying, come on, come on, come on. I love that. I don't want the trivial stuff in my life. But I mess up and I still have it there. Being a servant really matters. Let's look at another one. So I go to verse number 2, and we're reading along. We're just having a Bible study if you're all right with that this morning, okay? That's what we're doing. Philippians 1:2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, two words jumped off. You didn't cheat, did you? Here we go. Two words jumped off the screen at me. What two words do you think those words were? Say it with me.
Grace.
And? Absolutely. You know grace and peace really matters. Grace and peace really matter. They just jumped off the page at me. Grace is not a trivial thing. Peace is not a trivial thing. Grace has the idea of being sanctified. Grace is the unmerited favor of God, and it climaxed on the cross of Calvary. God's free gift for us, even though we didn't deserve it. He died on that cross for us. And through the grace of God, you and I are clean. We're cleansed. We are sanctified. And there's a cleansing that continues to take place. Though we still struggle, the grace of God has a cleansing effect. Look at it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then the word jumped off at me was the word peace. And the word peace has the idea of being tranquilized. Tranquilized. Now, what am I talking about? I'm going to give you a story. And she's here with me in the building today. There was a lady that came up to me last week. And she had a diagnosis that she possibly had cancer and was going to have surgery. And it didn't look too great. And she came to me with tears in her eyes, running down her face. And she told me, and though she was crying, there were still some teeth showing. And she said, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Amen? See, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the peace of God that tranquilizes you. And even though all hell is breaking loose in your life, excuse me, somehow you're okay. That is fantastic. You know what? This trivial mess, who's the better gamer? Take it. You can have it. I take grace and peace any day, baby. Give me that tranquilizing peace. Amen? That grace. And that peace. Man. And people said that about me. I often think of my wife. My wife struggles and has struggled. And I just be plain Jane honest with you. And I don't want to get her all upset today. But the fact is, when we started Fellowship Church, we were basically disowned by her family. And that's not easy. Okay? And I don't need your pity or you feel sorry. We did it because it's the right thing to do. Okay? So that's bottom line. But the fact of the matter is, people ask her, and I often think, how you make it, honey? How you keep going? And it's that peace of God that passes understanding. It's tranquilizing. I'm not talking about some spooky hippie thing. You hear me? I'm talking about something from an almighty, almighty God. Amen, all-powerful God. Accepting. But listen, you ain't going to get it. Who's the better gamer? You ain't going to get it. Amen? Being a servant. Accepting Christ's death on the cross. Humbling yourself. Having your sins forgiven. Having that peace of God that passes understanding. Right in the book of Philippians. How many have quoted this verse before in your life? Amen? And the peace of God that passes understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So those words jumped off the screen at me. Peace. I call it the Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego thing. You know, they threw these guys in the fiery furnace. And you know what he said? Hey, sorry, dude. Throw us in. If we burn, we burn. But we're not going to bow down to you, and we're not going to serve false gods. And so they heated the furnace up, and they threw these guys in there. But there was this tranquilizing peace they had. And guess what? You know the story, many of you. They looked in the fire, and how many was in the fire? Four were in the fire. That's Jesus was with them. That's the peace. Amen? You got that? Do you have that in your life? See, that's how you can be imprisoned and locked up. Amen? Awaiting your execution and still write a book on joy. Amen? Some other words jumped off. I got other things here. Being forgiven and free really matters. Grace and peace. Knowing your sins are forgiven, that you have a friend in Jesus who sticks closer than a brother. That really matters. We go to Philippians 1:3. I don't know if we'll ever make it through this message. Here we go. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. What word do you think jumped off? Thank God. Thank God. Thanks jumped off the screen. Look at it. Whoa! Jumped right off as I was reading it. I'm looking as I'm reading the scriptures. How did you do it, Paul? How are you in prison? How are you locked up? And you were still happy. You weren't focused on trivial things. How did you make it? Thanks. This idea of thanks has the tense in the Greek. It says, I'm constantly thanking God for you. Can you imagine? Boy, if Clark was in prison, I'd be moaning and groaning and whining and complaining and mad. Probably. But he was there constantly thanking God for these people. Generally speaking, focusing on trivial things diminishes a grateful spirit. Did you hear me? Generally speaking, when you and I focus on trivial things, it diminishes a grateful spirit. Not being thankful, say it with me, is being what?
Selfish,
flat out, plain Jane. You lose every time. Trivial Pursuit, who wins? Who's the better gamer? You lose when you don't have a grateful spirit. Boy, that really matters. Having a grateful spirit towards God and others really matters. Philippians 1:4, let's see another word that jumped off. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. What word? Yes. Say it. Come on. Even you're right or wrong. Which one? Prayer jumped off at me. Prayer matters, friend. Prayer matters. That's something more to do. Praying for others really matters. I do it with joy. This is what Paul said. He said, I'm praying for you with joy. That's something I can say. When we pray for you, I can say, I pray with you for you with joy. You know? Say, with joy, joy. Amen? I'm glad to do it, Paul said. See, prayer matters. I'm happy to pray for you. I got a couple of ugly statements that are going to come up in the message, and this is one of them. Here we go. I'm convinced that self-centered, trivial-minded people don't pray for others. I'm just talking about over my little bit of experience in the ministry, working with Christians. I'm convinced that trivial-minded people don't pray for people. And you need to let that sink in today. You just lose when you trivialize things. And when you're focusing on that kind of stuff, prayer matters. A lot of people pray the publican prayer. I'm glad I'm not like so-and-so. To me, that's the dumbest prayer, and I can't imagine somebody praying like that. And every time I hear somebody, when I think of somebody praying like that, I want to pop them in the mouth. I do. I feel that way. That is so stupid. That's pitiful. Good grief. And I got a feeling we see it in the Scripture. We saw that's the story in the Scripture. Felt that way. Praying for people really matters, people. That's something that's not trivial. Here's another one. Just walking through the first chapter. Philippians 1:5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Which word do you think jumped off? Yeah. Fellowship jumped off. It jumped off. Hit me in the head. You know what? You know what fellowship means? It means joint participation. The meaning of the word fellowship means having things in common. Can you say that? Having things in common. That's what fellowship means. And you know what? Having a part in other people's lives, it really matters. Having a part in other people's lives and having things in common in Christ with other people, that is important. And it shouldn't be wasted or are thrown away over fighting and bickering. Who's the better gamer? Doesn't matter. You might say this, I just like to be by myself. I just like to be by myself. I don't want that joint participation, you know, group thing, hanging out with others. Guess what, though? Look at this. If you were locked up in prison, you just might change your tune. Amen? Oh, Paul, he was longing for some fellowship, wasn't he? Oh, man. Boy, think about that. Think about that when you get a little cold. I don't feel like going to church today. You know, you matter, and your being here matters. Your being here matters. You're showing up. And don't just show up, but reach out and touch somebody with a smile, with a touch. It's okay to reach out and, hey, how you doing, okay? It's all right here at Fellowship if you want to hug somebody's neck. Well, that's ungodly. Do it! Hug somebody's neck, amen? People need to. How many need a hug every once in a while? Say, Lord, just help me. Don't say much. Just give me a hug, honey. Amen? Sometimes the way it is. Reaching out and caring and sharing, boy, that really matters. That's important. Iron sharpens iron, the Bible says. We need each other. That's so important. You need others, and others need you. And so it's so vital that we don't focus on just trivial things. That's why at Fellowship Church, everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome at Fellowship Church. I'm going to tell this story. I'm getting out of whack here. But a former ministry had a crazy guy. He had a good bit of money. And this is a true story. If it wasn't true, I can't even imagine it being true. But if I hadn't lived it, I would have thought it was insanity. But an old guy came in all disheveled and dirty, smelling, and came in and sat up in the front. And as I was making my way down the back, this old dirty fella up front, I had one of the parishioners stop me. And this guy was a well-to-do dude. Stop me and basically asked me, why do we let people like that in here? I was about 23, 24 years old when that happened. Still a lot of hellraiser left in me. You know? And you know what I told him? I said, that guy reminds me of my mama. Okay? That's who I was. That's my family right there, people. You hear me? See, fellowship, everybody's welcome here. And I'm not going to fuss at you. Now, if you got flip-flops on, I just don't care. I just want you to be covered up, please. Amen? Be covered up. Be covered up. Be covered up. Let me ask you a question. Would we rather have somebody come to Fellowship Church in a pair of flip-flops because they're here on vacation? They ain't got anything else. That's what they got. Or would we rather them stay on the beach somewhere out here vacation and saying, no, I can't come because I ain't got anything to wear? Would we rather have them or not? Amen. I'd rather have them. Amen? That's what I want. I'd rather have them. So, anybody's welcome. Our mission here at Fellowship is that we love Jesus Christ and we love people. That really matters. And now we got a flyer, Raj. We're totally out of time. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. The word confident jumped off the screen at me. And just move with it quickly, Raj, and I'll just try to wrap the message up this morning. Confident means a settled and firm persuasion. Paul was persuaded that God was working in their life. The good work that's mentioned in that verse, I'm confident that he will perform every good work. He was talking to the Philippians. It was actually talking about giving. This was a poor church. You can read about it in 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. He talked to them and he wrote them. They wanted to give him a gift and they were so poor. They were so impoverished. But they kept giving to him and giving to him and giving to him. And it was a phenomenal thing. And he was sitting in prison and he couldn't get away from it. He just couldn't believe. He said, I'm confident God's going to perform good works in you and great things are going to happen because of what you've been doing. Listen, look at this. Are you hopeful and positive about what God is doing through others? Say. Are you hopeful and positive about what God will do through others? But watch this. Or when you look at other believers, are you critical? Say. I mean, when you look at people, I mean, they might not be right where you are yet on your spiritual plane. But listen, do you look at them with hope in your eyes that you're positive, that you know, and maybe even think back in your own mind the way you used to be? Amen? Instead of looking at them And you go, oh my gosh, you need to do this, this. I'm not saying we don't want to help people and encourage people and help them grow in the Lord. But there's a difference in being positive and being negative. Being confident, positive or negative, which one? Look at it. We're usually negative because they're not doing it like I'm doing it. And I'm right. Amen? I'm just telling it like it is. That's the way it is, folks. The way it is in my life. Sounds like pride to me. Look at this. Look at this. Back to the start. Back to the servant thing. If that's your attitude. Amen? What really matters? Fly, Raj. Verse number 7, chapter 1. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, in so much as both in my bonds, that's chains, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you're all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in all knowledge and in all judgment. You already saw it. What word jumped off? Love matters, friend. Loving people matters. Love matters. What is love? It's a divine self-sacrificing love. It's God-like love. It's sacrificing yourself for others, caring for others. Not my way. See, the two guys were fighting. They were fussing. Who's the better gamer? Love says, I don't care who's the better gamer. Amen? I just love you. Let's just play the game and quit arguing here, can we? All right? Love is self-sacrificing. Look at chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, 1 Corinthians. Though I speak with the tongues of men of angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could even remove mountains. I ain't met nobody doing that lately. And have not love, it profits me nothing. Look, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me what? Nothing. Love matters. See, that's not trivial. What pursuit are you on? What's right now in your craw that's got you stuck? Something in your mind. Maybe it's something that happened to you up north. Somebody offended me. Come on. Come on. Let's get off of that kick now. Let's get back with what really matters. Can you say, life's too short not to fish, and life's too short not to live for Jesus Christ, and to get real here. Sacrificing for others is not a trivial thing. It really matters. You win and they win. Now here comes another ugly statement coming at you. Love requires action, talk doesn't. Oh, how I love Jesus. I love that song. It's useless if I don't really love Him. Talk is cheap, friend. Watch this. This is, if I had one thing I wanted to say to you today, that if you didn't hear anything else I've said, so pinch your neighbor in case they're asleep. One thing I would say to you today, one thing, and that is this. If people don't know you love them, then you failed as a Christian. If people don't know you love them, then you failed as a Christian. Now, you might not agree with me on that. But I'm saying if you're interacting with people in people's lives and they don't know that you love them, you failed as a Christian. You were put here to love folk. Did you hear me say? You are put, Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples because you want one another. Love one another. So if you don't love, people aren't going to know you're a Christian. And why are you here? If people don't know, if people in this town, when I meet them over several times, they might not know right off the bat. But after people meet me several times, they'll go, I think Pastor Clark likes me. They ought not believe, I think that man hates me. Or, ooh, that's a bad man with a bad attitude. He don't like people. Man, I failed if that happens. We must love each other unconditionally, say it with me, without trivialities. Love really matters. You know what? Look at this. Isn't it interesting? This is a picture I have in my office. How can Jesus love an old, dirty old carpenter, huh? Here he is. He's loving this dude right there with the old jeans and the old dirty shirt and the sweat and the mess all over his face. If you look closely, this guy's got the hammer or the mallet in his hand. See it? And you look over there, there's the spikes. Jesus loved him, didn't he, huh? He loves you. I love that picture. Jesus loves you. He loves me. We're to love other people. Period. Taking, now I wrote, put this on there as well. These are all Clark quotes today. There, some of them are crazy, but here we go.
We just had an election, and moral values matter, and we talked about that last week, and we praise God for that. But I'm going to say something to you today. Taking a stand is great. It may save a nation, but it won't save a soul. It may save a nation, but it won't save a soul. Why should we want moral values in this country? Why should we want a nation that is under God? As Christians, we want a nation not so that we can brag to the world, look at our nation. We want a nation like that so that we can share the gospel. We want a nation so that we can be free to share the love of Christ. So what if we can brag that we've got the cleanest, greatest nation, and I love that. Thank God I want that in America. But it should be so that we can love other people. And by the way, when we're taking a stand on some of the issues of the day, and some of them are reprehensible. I don't like some of the things. I mean, some things gross me out. But if I don't agree and Scriptures doesn't agree with someone's lifestyle and we take a stand which is right, somehow, some way, we've still got to show love. Do you agree with that or no? We've still got to show love. Well, showing love is taking a stand. And, you know, showing love is really not taking a stand. Taking a stand is being righteous and doing the right thing and all that. But showing love is a little on top of that, okay? I knew I'd get off into a gray zone here with some of you. But so what? I think it's true. I appreciate you taking a stand. You should take a stand. But you need to love people. That really matters. Because I know so many people, I'm going to say one last thing, I know so many people that are off on these tangents on taking a stand while people are going to hell. Come on. You got to do both now, folks. Come on. Interesting. Love really matters. And then two last things. Philippians 1, 10 and 11. And here's the thought today, Roger. Let's move on forward. The word sincere. If you read the Scriptures, the word sincere appears. It's so important that you and I are sincere. That really matters. You can check it out sometime. What does sincere mean? It means being the real deal, putting things to the test is what it means. Being real. Say this with me. Being real really matters. How many wants to hear some pastor or Christian brother or sister who's a fake and a fraud share with them something of how they're supposed to live their life? Do you like listening to that junk say? Uh-uh. I can take it right on the chin, man. If you're real, I mean, if you're sharing with me something because it's the real deal. You see what I'm saying? Even if it hurts me, if it comes from a sincere heart, I'm okay with it. But if I find out it's phony behind it all, that bothers me. And it bothers most folks. It's offensive to others when you are not who and what you say you are. It offends people, folks. It offends people. It really bothers them. It is trivial pursuit being phony baloney. Can you say that with me? It is trivial pursuit being okay. And then finally, you're just game playing. Being real really matters. And then here's the last thing. And this is the last one. Philippians 1, 12 through 14. But I would have you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me, Paul writing from prison, they've fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds or my chains in Christ are manifest in the palace and in all places. These chains have caused me to be heard about in the palace and my gospel message. And don't feel sorry for me because things are working out for me. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds or my chains, they're much more bold now to speak the word without fear. Don't feel sorry for me in prison. I mean, good things are happening. According to my earnest expectation, verse 20, and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Have you ever quoted this verse? For to me to live is, and to die is gain. Verse 28. He said, in nothing be terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to what? for His sake. You know what really matters? Last thing. I kept you a little long, but it's anniversary Sunday. Suffering really matters. Suffering really matters. Suffering, it was an honor for Paul to be imprisoned for preaching the gospel of Christ. It was an honor for him to suffer for Christ. And how many know that you wouldn't be the man or the woman you are today if you hadn't had suffering come in your life? Can I get an amen or hand raised on that? You've had suffering, you've had pain, you've had trouble, you've had trials. Some of it was because you took a stand. Some of it was because you loved somebody and they just didn't want it right then. You know what I mean? And it hurts. And you suffer. Some of it's health and all kinds of things. Some of it's family has abandoned you. Who knows what? Children away from God, you're just broken. But suffering really matters. When you and I struggle and suffer, if we do it gracefully and joyfully, it isn't trivial and usually speaks a lot louder and clearer than anything else we could ever say. I've found that in my own life, I've been able just through the murder of my mother and events like that and struggles and trials that I've had people to want to get a little closer to me because, you know, I got skin and I hurt like they hurt. Don't hide your hurt. I'm not saying put on a billboard, okay? But don't hide your hurt. Suffering, it does matter. You can reach people. Don't trivialize, look at this one. Don't trivialize suffering by whining. Nothing I can't stand worse than somebody just saying, whine, poor me, poor me, poor me, poor me. That gets old in a hurry. Amen? Suffer gracefully. Look at this. Look at Christ on the cross. Say it with me, would you? He suffered for us. Look at that. We started out the message this morning and we're done. What does the word trivial mean? It comes from a Latin word meaning what? Three roads or a crossroad. And here you are, friend. Here you are. Where are you? Where are you? Are we going to stand here? Am I going to stand here and just give small talk? Say, well, we do this at our church. No, and we did it this way. Yeah. And we do this. And yeah, I believe in this. And I believe. Listen, are you in or are you out? Have you accepted Christ? At the crossroad, is it all talk? Or have you trusted in Jesus Christ? Do you understand where I'm at today? Say. Amen. The crossroad. We can spend our whole life, and some of you have told me this, grieving, that you spent your whole life in church not knowing a dime's worth of nothing about anything about Christ or the Bible. And you talk and you do this and you're tired of it. And you've come to Christ, many of you now. You've realized there's a crossroad, and talk is cheap, and what He did is what really matters. Have you trusted in Him? Are you still being trivial? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ? You're at the crossroad today. Where are you? The crossroad? Trivial, or what really matters? Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this morning. Thank You for this time, the singing, all the good time, the fellowship, and the sweet time together. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for helping us, and Lord, to get through this message. And Father, I just lay it back on You, Lord, to use what I said, and I stumbled some, Lord. But I pray that You will take it, and You'll be honored, and that You will use it in people's hearts. And You'll drive us away from being trivial to focusing more on what really matters. Help us, Lord. And then, Father, I pray for some here today. They're at that crossroad. They have talked and talked religion to death. But, Father, I pray today they would know that Jesus Christ loves them. And trivial things and religious talk is just a bunch of gobbledygook. And what really matters is that Jesus Christ loves them, died for them, rose again, and they must put their faith and trust in Him. That's the starting place. Father, help us today. Those that need to make decisions, help them to do it, Lord. Thank You for working in my life and in my heart with this message, Lord, helping me with my focus. Thank You for Your forgiveness and cleansing. In Jesus' name.